Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers, grandmothers, if you were ever a mother. It's a good day for you, and we love you, and we are thankful for you, and just pray that your kids just remember you and just give you thanks today just for being there for them. My wife was kind enough to tell me this morning that one of our boys texted her at about 12:01 this morning. Gave her the text, said, "Happy Mother's Day. I love you. You're my best friend." Oh, and just for that long, I thought, wait a minute. You're his best friend. But we are going through this morning and singing and worshiping. And I told her, I said, "I'm glad you're his best friend." And my mom was my best friend for a few years between high school and marriage. She was my confidant and the one that I talked to and shared life with. And so I'm very thankful. So mothers, you can aspire to be one of your kids' best friends. It's a pretty cool place to be. Pretty cool place to be. But we are thankful for you. And if it's not too much trouble this morning, we're going to talk about moms, and we're going to talk about your awesome connection to God's holiness and what he is doing in all of creation. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll take a look at his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together in your name. You are the Holy One. And we give you all glory. We give you all worship and praise. We give you our lives. And Father, we're here because we understand the love required to give us your Son. We're here because we understand and we confess, Father, that we are sinners. And we all need the sacrifice of Jesus to pay for our sins. Father, we are humbled by your gift. We are blown away by your willingness to give. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for the gifts that they provide in our families. And I ask your blessings to be upon them today. Be with us, Lord, as we study your scriptures so that we can all be more faithful and more like Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Mothers, you are a special breed. God gives you a special role and place in your family and in his kingdom. It is a position filled with pain and sacrifice. But God has put a holiness on your position that is really not found anywhere else. We read in Luke chapter 1 that God brought holiness to his creation by making a young woman a mother. And you can go back over to the scripture in Luke chapter 1. The angel comes to Mary and says, "You are blessed. You are blessed because God is going to do something with you. God is going to include you in a part of his eternal plan. He is going to include you in bringing Jesus Christ to the world." And you can imagine. You can imagine the joy and awe that you feel when you find out that you're expecting a baby. And God says, in essence, you're going to feel that for the most important baby ever to be born. And it's amazing, and of course, when Mary hears this good news, she celebrates, but at the same time, she does ask God's messenger, well, how exactly is this going to work? And God said, the Holy Spirit will bring this about. The Holy Spirit will bring this about. In fact, not only is this happening for you, but this is also happening for Elizabeth. And what did the story tell us about Elizabeth? She couldn't have kids, could she? No. Her parents had prayed for kids. They'd asked, and God hadn't delivered. And so here, Mary is learning from the angel that the virgin and the barren are expecting baby boys. See, God gave Mary the opportunity to carry Jesus in her womb and to be there for his entire life. You realize that Mary outlived her son. She was there to bring him here, and she was there when he was taken away. She witnessed and she experienced every holy moment of his life. You know, it's interesting, of course, what has been going on in the last couple weeks in our country, that this holy opportunity is once again in our national zeitgeist. Because you haven't missed it. It's brought up all over again as we hear news about what the Supreme Court is talking about. And it's everywhere, is it not? It is. It's everywhere, and it is the hardest part is that we have gotten to a place where this holy position and opportunity has become devalued. And the world is turning it into a profanity. Church, the things that God has made holy shall not be profane. The things that God has called holy shall not be called anything else. It hurts our heart. It breaks our heart. But we need to be reminded once again, and we need to know the things that God has entrusted us with. And honestly, it doesn't matter how many try to cheapen or dismiss life or its existence and the role of mothers. Life and the role of mothers is holy in the eyes of God. Turn your Bible over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The nations are raging against his existence. The nations are trying to wipe out anything of a creator. That means in the world what we see today is anyone trying to deny any connection to anything greater than ourselves that would have any control or decision in who we are and how we live. And yet here you and I stand in humility and in gratitude, making our confession and saying once again, there is a God. There is a God above us who has created us and blessed us with life. There is only one God who has given us all good things, who has provided for us his only Son, and given us life in His name alone. And that confession and that belief in our life makes us distinct and strange. Just plain weird in the world we live in today. But I want us to be reminded of God. Psalm 139, verse 1. 139:1 says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and Your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God is present at all times and all places. And David admits in verse 6, he says, this is hard to understand. It's hard to grasp that God sees everything, knows everything, that He is with us every step of the way. We can't run away from Him. We can't go somewhere in His creation. We cannot exist outside of Him. And He says, and He even takes it back before we were born, and says, even in the womb, You were forming my body. You knew me even then. Church, it does not matter how many try to explain it away. Nothing exempts us from God being there. Not even our unbelief. We can no more deny God out of existing than we can make ourselves exist. God is. God has always been, and God will forever be. You and I, in our earthly forms, are a breath. We are small. And church, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what laws of nature are trying to be rewritten. It does not matter that, and what's going on is just that man is denying God and exalting themselves. I say man, woman, it doesn't matter. That's what we see around us. Those that deny God's existence put themselves in His place. They make their own rules. And so, if there's no rules higher than yourself, then you are God. And you are God. It's not new. It's I don't know, sometimes it's distressing, disturbing, annoying. But we don't get to escape God. And just like for David, for you and I, that's a comfort. That's a comfort that we cannot escape God's presence. Now, if you're not living in Jesus, that might not be a comfort, right? That might be kind of bothersome. Wait, God knows everything I do? He sure does. He sure does. God's kind of like your mother in a small town. I was talking to a mom the other day. Her kids are out of the house like mine, and we were talking about it. She said, yeah, there were a few Friday nights where I knew what they had done before they got home. And I could stand at the door waiting to talk to them about it. And they would always go, how? This place isn't that big. This place isn't that big. And God's like that. God knows everything we do. And if that's annoying to you, maybe you ought to rethink some things. Because David says what you and I all know in our hearts, that is a comfort for us. And we can't understand it. We can't understand it, but before we were even born, while we were in our mother's womb, God was forming us, putting us together. He has been with us every single step of the way. And He is with us every single step of the way. There's nowhere we can go to escape God. And church, just as the Word became flesh and lived and dwelled in our form, we are invited to live in His nature. And that's where I want us all to get to this morning. So turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because this is amazing, not just for moms, but this is amazing for dads and sons and daughters and all of us. That just as God saw fit to dwell in human form, God has now called us to dwell and live in His holiness. And so just as we have seen that there is a holiness associated with moms and their role and just their partnership with God in bringing life to this world and carrying life within them, God opens up for all who believe in His Son, invites all of us to participation in the holiness that is absolutely necessary to be in His presence. 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you've read this scripture before, and really, because we always end there in verse 11, what sticks with us mostly is, keep on working hard so you make it to heaven. And it says that. It says that. It says you believe in Jesus, and so add to your faith all of these things, and all of these things that are added to your faith will keep you fruitful. And will keep you from becoming ineffective. In essence, they will mean that your faith is real. But I want you to go back to the beginning. I want you to go back to the beginning, because in the beginning, before all of these other things, we have to receive what God's word is giving us, and that is all of us are invited to partake upon the divine nature of God. He has called us to holiness. He has called us to be set apart, to not be satisfied as being profane, to not live lives that are beneath our created and intended order. God invites us in to His banquet table, and we must understand, church, that is where you and I reside. Yes, this body, when it is done, when the flesh is through carrying my soul around on this plane, and when what is left of me is what will always and only be, I will be in His presence fully and completely. But today, right now, each and every one of us, the blood of Jesus Christ has been called in, invited in, and sewn together with Him and His divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, we have not escaped the effects of the corruption of this world. But that corruption of this world no longer touches our souls. It breaks our heart, but it does not touch our souls. For you and I are united with God. You and I are united with God. That is because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And we have made the good confession. We have said before others, I believe. I believe that He came to this world. I believe that God brought Jesus here through the body of Mary. And I believe that He lived in perfection, showing us what this holiness looks like. And I believe that they raised Him up and hanged Him on the cross for my sins. And I believe that the Father accepted that sacrifice for me. Because the Father did not let His body see corruption, but on the third day raised Him up from the grave. Church, my invitation to you today is to not be ineffective in God's invitation to holiness. For because of Jesus Christ, your life is no longer mundane. Because of Jesus Christ, the roles that you have today are not mundane. And the existence that we have in Jesus Christ has been tied and knit together with His divine nature. So we are not profane. God has poured out His love in Christ for every single life. May yours be fruitful in the participation of His Spirit. He put this verse on my heart. I'm going to read it to you. And then I'm going to sit down and give you the best Mother's Day gift I can hope to offer. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." Look, if you're face to face with someone that needs to hear a biblical answer of where we stand on such issues that are flying around our heads this week? There it is. If you are tempted to forget who you are and the holiness that God has put upon you, there you are. You are God's temple. We are not holy because we're so good. I'm not any more holy than you. Terry is not any more holy than me. It's not a ranking system for how long and how good we are. That's not what it's about. It is God's love shown to us through Jesus Christ. That's His holiness. We are His temple because He dwells in us. The only option for us is, are we going to do those things and live that life that brings about the fruit of that holiness? That should be our goal. That should be our desire and our energy every single day. We believe. So let's live lives this week that show His holiness, that show that we trust His plan for our lives, because He sees in the dark. He was there before and He'll be there after. He's there every step of the way. He knows. He can be trusted. So let us understand the divine nature that we have been brought to. Let us understand what it means to take on the holiness of God. Not trying to build our own holiness through good deeds, but trusting the holiness of Christ for our sake. If you need to be a Christian this morning, we invite you to. And any Christians out there, if you need to be a Christian this morning, you're always invited.